Chapter 52. The town of Kugluktuk, formerly called Coppermine from an adjacent river, is a small trading town built on the banks of Coronation Gulf. Situated on the northern coast of Canada's Nunavut province, it is one of just a handful of populated havens lying north of the Arctic Circle. It was the deep-water port offerings that attracted Mitchell Goyette to Kugluktuk. Kugluktuk represented the closest port facility to the Athabasca oil sand fields in Alberta, and Goyette invested heavily in order to stage a terminus for exporting his unrefined bitumen. Cheaply acquiring a little-used rail line from Athabasca to Yellowknife, he financed the expansion of the line north to Kugluktuk. With special snow-clearing locomotives leading the way, a long string of tank cars transported 25,000 barrels of bitumen on every trip. The valuable heavy oil was then offloaded onto Goyette's mammoth barges and sent across the Pacific to China, where a tidy profit awaited. With the next railroad shipment several days away, Goyette's Athabasca Shipping Company rail terminus sat ghostly quiet. The icebreaker Otok sat at the dock, an empty barge tied to its stern. Two more of the massive barges were moored out in the bay, riding high above their waterlines. Only the rhythmic pumping of a fuel line filling the icebreaker's tanks with diesel fuel gave an indication that the boat and dock were not completely deserted. No such illusions were evident inside the ship, where an engaged crew made advance preparations for departing port. Seated inside the ship's wardroom, Clayzak twirled a glass of bourbon over crushed ice as he examined a large chart of the Royal Geographical Society Islands. Sitting across from Zack was the Otok's captain, a puffy-faced man with gray hair cut close to the scalp. "We'll be refueled shortly," the captain said in a heavy voice. "I have no desire to spend any more of my life in Kugluktuk than necessary," Zack replied. "We leave at daybreak. It looks to be about 600 kilometers to the Royal Geographical Society Islands," he said, looking up from the chart. The skipper nodded. "Ice reports are clear all the way to King William Island and beyond, and this is a fast ship. We'll be there easily in about a day's sail." Zack took a sip of his bourbon. His hastily arranged trip to the Arctic had been undertaken without a detailed plan, which made him uncomfortable. But there was little to go wrong. He would drop a team of Goyette's geologists on the north coast of the main island to search for the ruthenium mine, while he examined the Mid-America mining operations in the south. If necessary, he would put Mid-America out of business with the aid of an armed team of security specialists he had brought aboard, along with enough explosives to detonate half the island. A door to the wardroom suddenly burst open, and a man in black fatigues and parka walked hurriedly over to Zack. He had an assault rifle strapped to his shoulder and carried a bulky pair of night vision binoculars in one hand. "Sir, two rubber boats approached from the bay and tied up at the dock just astern of the barge. I counted 7 men in total," he said, slightly out of breath. Zack glanced from the man's binoculars to a bulkhead clock, which read 12:30. "Were they armed?" he asked. "Yes, sir. They moved past the loading facility and onto the adjacent public dock before I lost sight of them." "They're after the Polar Dawn," the captain said excitedly. "They must be Americans." The Polar Dawn was docked only a few 100 feet away. Zack had noticed a throng of locals crowding around the American cutter when he had first arrived in Kugluktuk. He walked down and had a look for himself at the captured vessel. It was teeming with Mounties and Navy guards. There was no way that 7 men would be able to retake the ship. "No, they're here for the crew," Zack said, not knowing the ship's crew was being held in the old fish house just a stone's throw away. A devious smile crept slowly across his face. "Very kind of them to drop by. I think they will be a fine aid in ridding us of the Mid-America Mining Company." "I don't understand," the captain said. "Understand this," Zack said, rising to his feet. "There's been a change in plans. We depart within the hour." With the mercenary in tow, he abruptly marched out of the room.